Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Psalms 119. As you and I look at a pathway out, I want us to think in terms of what the Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 13. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13, the Bible says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." The Bible then says, "But God will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with that temptation make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." In the book of James, chapter number 1, and verse number 2, the Bible says, "Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience." When you and I look at that passage in James 1 and verse number 2, and the Bible says, "Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation." Notice that the Bible is not saying that you might fall into diverse temptation. The Bible doesn't say that there is an opportunity. The Bible uses the little word "when." The Bible says, "Count it all joy when." In other words, He's not saying if, He is saying when you fall into diverse temptation. Not only that, but that word "diverse" means many. And look at the word "fall." I want you to see the fact of the temptation. You see the force of that temptation when you see that word "fall." And then you see not only that, but the focus of it when you see falling into various or diverse temptation. And then he gives the answer to that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13. So many folks say, "Oh, Brother Acuff, but you don't understand. My temptation is different." No. The Bible says, "There had no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." Your temptation may be different from mine, but is it unique? Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible teaches us that man is drawn away of his own lust. He is tempted and drawn away of his own lust. And when that lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. The Bible says, "But God will not suffer you." Now think about this. Somebody said, "Oh, Brother Acuff, I just cannot overcome it." Yes, you can. Because the Bible says, "But God will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able." That God is not going to put a temptation on you. Now, notice also this, that there are temptations and there are trials. God does not tempt a man to sin. The Bible tells us, Jesus was tempted of the devil. If you go back to Matthew chapter number 4, and the Bible teaches us that God does not tempt a man to sin. But you and I also know that Peter writes concerning the fiery trials that are among you. And then again, back to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, that he will with that temptation make a way of escape. Now when you and I look at this, the lesson as we think about it today is the way out of sin. When you and I look at sin and we look at the way out of sin, then we want to turn to the book of Psalms 119, and let's look at what the Bible teaches us. In Psalm 119, I'm going to read verses, if you have a copy of the Bible, look at verses 25 and verse number 32, and look at what the Bible says. The Bible says, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of the precepts, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengtheneth thou me according to thy word. Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen," verse 30 says, "the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord, put me not to shame." Look at this last verse. The Bible says, "I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart." Now, we're going to come back to this in several passages. The thing we need to understand, and that is the reality of sin. The Bible says that if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If you and I look at our world and our society today and we recognize that men are simply saying, well, I'm not guilty of sin. I really don't feel all that bad about my life. Not only that, but if you and I look not only at the reality of sin, but we look at the state of sin, the Bible said, you have He made alive. In other words, New King James uses that word. In other words, use quickened. Who were dead, Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, who were dead in trespasses and sin. He said, you've been made alive. Now, where were you? What were the conditions? He said, you were dead in trespasses and sin. When you and I look at the book of Romans, chapter number 6, the Bible said, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves, servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine that was delivered to you, being then made free from sin. So, ladies and gentlemen, we see the reality of sin. The Bible says, and Brother Ed read this in Isaiah chapter 53 a few minutes ago, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every man to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Brother Charlie has taught us this on Wednesday night in Romans chapter number 3, that there's none righteous, no, not one, or that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. As you and I look at this as well, we come to the conclusion and we understand not only the reality of sin, not only the state of sin, but you and I need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, the power of sin. Jesus answered them, most assuredly, I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is a slave of sin. That's what Paul pointed out in Romans chapter 6. Whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. You and I do not really realize, I think sometimes, we just do not grasp, ladies and gentlemen, the stronghold that sin takes on an individual. And we build this barrier, we build this wall, and we say, well, I realize that there are all these things out there in the world, and I realize they are wrong, I realize they are sinful, but do you and I realize the effect that it has upon us? See, if we grasp what sin is, you and I know the result of it, because we've already mentioned it in Romans chapter 6. You and I know that the wages of sin is death. So we see the reality of sin. We see the state of sin. Ladies and gentlemen, we see the power of sin. And also we see not only that, but the wages of sin. The result of what sin will do to you. Just amazing. As you and I look at our world and our society today, and we see the vast number of individuals, the United States of America, we are the largest industrialized country in the world that is the most religious. And yet it's quite interesting to realize that being a large country and supposedly the most religious, when you begin to look at the facts and the figures, we come to the conclusion, and this article made this observation, and they said that religion, with most folks in our world, in the United States of America today, that religion with most people is a matter of feeling and has very little to do with fact. And so we ask the question about sin. See what the Bible says about sin. That all have sinned. We see the reality of it, the state of it. We see the result of it. Now, as you and I look and ask the question, what is the way out of sin? You know, it's kind of interesting when all of us, what, a couple of years ago, I suppose, I remember the plane that landed over there on the Hudson River. Oh, I think 150 of those folks in that airplane got out safely. Little device on that airplane that the pilot can turn on, and that closes up everything so that when they hit that water, that the water didn't begin to rush into that airplane as it may have years ago, and that they were able to go down the aisle and get everyone out. Now, my friend, listen to this. You and I today are on not only a floating aircraft that can sink, we're in a sinking ship. Is there a way out? Do we just simply give up and say, well, there's just not anything I can do? Is there a way out? And you and I read a few minutes ago in Psalm 119, verses 25 through 32, which we will not read again. But when you and I look at this again and ask the question, do I sit here, ladies and gentlemen, simply hopeless today? What are we going to do? Now, the way of sin, the way out of sin, involves considering our condition. What is your condition? If you and I are going to get out of sin, you and I realize that just a few weeks ago that there were men trapped beneath the surface of the earth for many days. And when they discovered that these men were in that mine, what did they do? What did they do? Ladies and gentlemen, they look at the condition. Have you and I ever looked at the condition of our soul? But I'm asking us today, as far as our spiritual lives are concerned, are you and I considering, if we're going to get out of sin, we've got to understand the condition that we're in. Now just look at this, folks. There's worldliness in the heart. Psalms 119, look at verse 25 and 26. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Not only is there worldliness in the heart, but there is confusion in the mind. Look at verse number 27. Make me to understand thy precepts. See, folks, you and I are bombarded constantly. And as a result of that, there is confusion in our mind. You see, because you and I see an advertisement, we see a television program, we see a movie, and everything points to everything other than Christianity and something that is faithful to God. And so what happened? We're torn. Folks are torn. You know what? They're torn. There are some folks who are torn on Sunday evening. They're torn on Wednesday evening. They're torn at other times because there is the lure of the world. There is the draw. There is the pull. There is that idea out here that said, hey, wait a minute. And you say, well, man, what am I going to do? Am I going to give up this television program on Sunday night? Am I going to give up this television program on Saturday night in order to do something with the brethren? Am I going to give up this program or this activity on... There's confusion in the mind. And ladies and gentlemen, when you and I get rid of that confusion, that's what the psalmist said. He said, make me to understand thy way. Get rid of that confusion, ladies and gentlemen. There's weariness in the soul. Paul describes it. He said, there is a cross pull in my life. Look at what the psalmist says in verse 28. He said, my soul melteth for heaviness. And Paul said, you know, the things that I would do, I don't. And the things that I don't want to do, I do. Confusion, ladies and gentlemen, in the soul. There is deception in the actions. There's a word he uses here, and that word is lying. You know, he said, remove me from the way of lying. Because what has happened to us in our life, we have fallen, ladies and gentlemen, for the deception and the lies of the devil. Eve did that. Oh, what did God say? God said, you're going to die if you eat that fruit. The devil said, oh, no. I'm sorry to tell you that. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, the way out of sin is understanding the condition of that sin. The condition of our lives, the condition of sin. Secondly, the way out of sin involves, ladies and gentlemen, making our confession. Now I'm using this in a broad form. Look at what he said, I have declared my ways. Look at verse number 2. I have declared my ways. You see, folks, when you and I come to the front of this thing, when you and I come to the realization, I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. When you and I read Psalm number 51 about David's sin, what did David do? I mean, Nathan went to David and he said, David, you have done this thing. And David said, I have sinned. He came to a realization. He made the declaration, I have sinned. Luke 15:21. The prodigal son, when he came back, he said to his father, I have sinned. Do you and I come to that realization? Rarely, folks. I have declared my ways. Proverbs 28:13. The Bible says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. You can hide it. You can camouflage it. You can ignore it. But ladies and gentlemen, it's still there. You and I know, and I hate to bring up a modern day illustration of this because it's already on our minds and we'd like to get rid of it to begin with, but I'll do it quickly. You and I look at quotation marks, what we have seen in the last couple of years in the housing market. You see, for a year, what did we do? We covered up. I remember several years ago, our son Jim said to me one day, he was in at that time in the mortgage business. And he said, Dad, mortgage companies are loaning money based on 125%. In other words, if your home's worth $100,000, they were loaning as much as $125,000. And being in the mortgage business, he said, Dad, that will not last. That cannot last. You cannot loan out 125% in a mortgage and have it stand. Ladies and gentlemen, you and I know today what has taken place. David said in Psalm, I have declared, then said I, woe is me. Isaiah said, I am undone. What is he doing? He is declaring his sin. Not only do we and I know, and looking at the conditions, looking at the confession, but we need to understand a declaration of our conviction. We need to recognize that we're sinners. But now I want you to look at this conviction. The convictions of the psalmist. Look at what he said. Number one, I will choose the truth. Look at Psalm 119 verse 30. I underline in my Bible. You may not. I underline three words and I'm going to go through them very quickly right here. I underline three words. Verse number 30, I underline the word chosen. My friend, you and I can make a choice. Not only the word chosen, but I have also underlined, look at this word, stuff. Now, I've got the word cling here. But notice that what he uses the word in verse 31, I have stuck. Have you seen these folks that try to climb these giant cliffs? And they have these suction cups. You see, ladies and gentlemen, when you and I grasp onto the holy word of God, and that's what the psalmist is saying. Look at what he said. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. And then look at this next word. Got the word travel here. In your Bible, King James Version, there's the word run. Look at verse 32. I will run the way of thy commandments. Now, folks, as you and I have looked at this message today, we've looked at the reality of sin, we've looked at the state of sin, the power of sin, and we've looked at the results of sin. What is the way out? Well, the way out are three things. Your condition, recognizing that you and I are sinners. Not only the condition, ladies and gentlemen, but the confession of that. I've sinned. And then number three, ladies and gentlemen, the conviction that says, I am going to stick to the Word of God and do the will of Christ. Now today, what will you do? When you and I look at our condition, our confession, and our conviction, what will we do? Do you and I have the courage? to make the confession of Jesus Christ before men. We recognize that we're sinners. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. Well, I know I'm a sinner. And therefore, I'm going to change. I'm going to repent of that sin. I'm going to repent. And then I'm going to make the confession that I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I'm going to take that sin, the way out of sin. Recognizing it. Declaring it before God. And then doing something about it by obeying His testimony and His will. By faith, being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. Rededicating your life and then making that determination that I'm going to live according to His will.